Inspiring solutions to save America, one show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
Who can take your money? Some other guy, the government. The government can. And the government can, cause they mix it up with lies and make it all taste good. Government takes everything we make to pay for all of their solutions, like healthcare, climate change, pollution. Just throw away the constitution. I wrote that, thank you. Who can give a bailout? Tell us to behave. And make the founding fathers roll over in their grave. The I don't care if you hate me, I'm going to sing it anyway. Oh, the government.
3 hours of bold truth and excellence. You've just signed up for the WBR Army. Welcome aboard. This is the Wendy Bell Radio Program.
All right, hour three of the Wendy Bell Radio Program on the clock. And you know what? I just want to take a special moment just quickly. I want to thank those of you. 2.5 million of you have gone to your podcast store, wherever you go, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever it is that you get your podcasts from. And you've plugged in our name, Wendy Bell Radio. And you didn't just listen. You downloaded that onto your device so that you can listen commonly. 2.5 million people. Don't tell me the message isn't getting out there. Thank you for that. We appreciate that. I don't think I am at all an anomaly when I say, and you don't have to be a parent, you just have to have common sense, that it has been shocking over the last 3 years how much hyper-sexualized content and ideology is out there regarding kids. It is disgusting. It is unacceptable. And I'll just jump in here and wear my mom hat and say I absolutely 100% refute, repudiate, and will fight anyone who tries to fiddle with kids. I think a lot of us have awakened to the idea that there is a very insidious underbelly economy in this country, and it involves the buying and selling of human beings. And I was baffled in California that the Democrat legislature voted down a bill that would have made buying a child for sex more than the misdemeanor that it currently is. It would make it a felony. Why on earth would Democrats reject protecting America's children? If you let that linger on your tongue for a minute, it kind of seeps back into your tongue, that bitter, ew. What is going on? Do I even want to know? Because the minute you pull that thread, there's no going back. Moms and dads, moms in particular, are paying attention. So we found this story in the Epoch Times, and I think it's fascinating. I don't think you're going to find it anywhere else. It's an in-depth look at how mothers are gearing up to decide who wins and who loses in November. Not just the national stuff, but at home. Mothers represent a significant demographic segment of the population and a sizable portion of the electorate. Make innocence great again is the story from the Epoch Times. It's a mantra that Juliana Ormond feels strongly about. The suburban mom of three seeks to call attention to the importance of preserving the purity and the innocence of childhood. She said she desires a return to a time when she contends innocence was valued and protected, which conflicts with the complexities and the challenges of the current culture. The only way to bring back innocence is to keep our children away from those who want to make everything about sexual identity, she said. I look for political candidates who support policies that align with the Bible. What do you think Target is making its decisions? Because of moms and dads. So Orman said she's watched the culture become more progressive since she was younger. From her home in suburban Orlando, Ms. Orman told the Epoch Times that two of her children are 10 years apart. Her younger daughter had a radically different school experience from her older sister. One day, my younger daughter brought a girlfriend home after school, she said. The friend proudly proclaimed that she was non-binary. I was shocked. That ideology wasn't pushed when my older daughter went to school. Now, I have a very similar situation in my household. The age difference between my oldest son and my youngest two is 8 years. In those 8 years, dramatically different culture and education. Mothers such as Ms. Ormond represent a significant demographic segment of the population, and they make up a sizable portion of the electorate. Candidates recognize the importance of appealing to this demographic group to secure their votes. Their motivations are deeply personal, rooted in parenthood's daily struggles and triumphs. From grassroots activism to high-profile political campaigns, mothers harness their perspectives and experiences to advocate for change on issues ranging from abortion, healthcare, and education to the environment and social justice. Look, I'm not saying dads don't play a role here. This is specifically talking about women, moms who are done. Like, we've called out dads to stand up. You got to be the protectors. You got to be the strong people in your family. You have to be that force. And we have to let men be that force. And we have to respect that and want that and cherish that to have that. We will die for our kids without hesitation. And this crazy train has gone too far. With almost 89 million women eligible to vote, they represent the largest and possibly most persuasive voter bloc in the United States. Among this constituency are those who identify as mama bears. I really dislike that moniker. It just seems so campy and dippy, but it is what it is. You know what it means? A mama bear will do anything to protect her cubs. And that means fight you to the death to keep them safe. That is what is going on. The Mama Bear movement, the Epoch Times writes, is growing and altering the nation's political climate. These mothers represent a diverse group of everyday women who are driven to shield their children from the agendas of special interest groups who think they know what's best for their kids. Moms for Liberty, one of them. Co-founder Tina Deskovich talked with the Epoch Times about parents' growing concern about public education and parental rights. You know, I found it interesting that the survey I was telling you guys about, I think it was yesterday or maybe Monday, where it was a very large number of young Gen Z women identify as conservative, maybe not in how they would say, how would you vote? Democrat or Republican, but rather their views on what's important in life. Like 80% said they viewed a woman raising her children and being a stay-at-home mom, which is without question the most complicated profession out there. It's not a job, it's an honor. 80% said they viewed stay-at-home moms as being as highly regarded, as important as somebody who's high up on the food chain in the working world. That the views that young women have about staying home and having children, about raising a family, about doing that thing that has worked generationally for centuries, they're far more conservative than even they believe. We see what's going on in our schools. And these young women say they believe that parents should have the ability to educate their children where they see fit, not to be funneled in some cattle chute because of your zip code to fail into whatever sucky public school is servicing your footprint. That your taxpayers go, your taxpayer dollars go to fund. You have 89 million eligible women. This is going to come down to the basic delineation between men and women. And it's going to come down to us working together as a team. Where men are allowed to and appreciated for being men, for being strong, for being the foundation, for being disciplinarians, for being the rules people. And it's not at all sexist to say, I'm cool with doing all the other stuff that makes our household hum. It involves laundry, and it involves shopping, and it involves taxes, and it involves bills, and it involves all of that nurturing stuff. And that's okay to say that. Moms, women, understanding their role ain't necessarily always in the kitchen. A hell of a lot of the times, it involves being in the voter's booth. Exciting stuff. When we come back, Bidenomics strikes again. Now, I will freely admit I've never eaten at this restaurant, but people love it, and it is done toast after 30-odd years in some communities. The next victim to file for bankruptcy and shut down, next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Well, in another chapter of You Just Don't Know How Well You Have It under Bidenomics, middle out, bottom up, after all. How about this report? Breitbart, Red Lobster closes 100 locations around the U.S. This is, you know, when you've got institutions that have been part of communities for years and then all of a sudden they're gone. Seafood restaurant chain Red Lobster has closed 100 locations around the United States, according to its website. 100 in Alabama, Colorado, Georgia, California, and Florida. They were listed as closed on the company website as of Tuesday. And this wasn't a slow drawdown. This wasn't like, hey, we're going to have a sale. We're going to have a big sale. Come on in. It was bzzzt done. Say what? CEO and founder of Tag EX Brands, whatever that means, Neil Sherman, announced in a post on LinkedIn Monday that his company would be hosting the largest restaurant liquidation through an online auction. The website listed auctions for 48 Red Lobster locations throughout the United States that had been closed and would be auctioning off kitchen items and furniture from the locations as well. Red Lobster locations in La Crosse, Wisconsin, Watertown, New York, Gaithersburg, Maryland, and Bloomingdale, and Danville in Illinois were among the restaurants that were closed. All three locations in Jacksonville, Florida, also listed as being closed. One employee from the Red Lobster chain in Buffalo, New York, told WKBW that he, this is super classy, and he found out about the restaurant closure from one of the cooks, not from corporate. I'm getting calls after calls this morning from these people telling me, like, you should come in right now. I'm like, why? I'm off today. And he's like, man, you need to come in because there's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah, like your industry just shut down. The first Red Lobster location, why does this matter? You're like, I don't go to Red Lobster. I don't even like lobster. Maybe you're allergic to shellfish. It doesn't matter. What do you guys think is going to take the spot? What's going to fill that void? What's going to come in and be the new whatever? Don't tell me that you're creating jobs. Don't tell me that immigration is really great for job prospects, that it's helping. Because 46% of them are working, apparently. Not even half. So 54% are just being fed and clothed and housed by you and by me? Look, I want to get to this before it's too late. and it is of the breaking news variety, so I'm going to say this. Apparently, in order to debate Donald Trump, Joe Biden's team has put out a list of demands. If we're going to sit down and we're going to have a debate, what do you guys think they are? See, when you've got nothing to hide, when you're on the ball, when you're seasoned, as Chris Coons says, when you're at the top of your game, when you run circles around it, I can't even keep up. The man is a dynamo. This is what they tell us about Joe Biden. Meanwhile, he's wearing orthotic shoes, has to take the short steps, need the Easter Bunny to prevent him from shaking hands with the air. This is what he says. He wants no live audience. Huh. RFK Jr. is banned. Wow, that doesn't say, you know, interference like anything. Trump's mic is muted when Biden speaks. Only hosted by NPR, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, or CBS, because they're all products of the Poynter Institute, and they've all taken money from dark money sources like George Soros and Bill Gates and Big Pharma and Big Tech. Is that why? I'm going to go with bing, 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 bing. Yes. And Joe Biden says it has to be moderated by Democrat-aligned reporter. You're so afraid. Let's see what Trump's demands were, because that's the next one. You ready? I don't know if this is true or not. I'm just telling you. This is what Trump's team wrote to whomever is in charge of debates. We would like to suggest the following journalist names for consideration as moderators. A bunch of people I've never heard of before. But among them, CBS reporter Major Garrett, Harris Faulkner, Larry Elder, Shannon Bream, Maria Bartiromo, Brett Baer, please. Why would you, as the president of the United States, who got more votes than anybody else in American history, 81 million. I mean, it's so amazing how many people came out of the woodwork who've since evaporated and think you suck, Joe. It's amazing that you feel like you need to rig the system, that you need to get all of these indictments against Trump, all these trials, all this nonsense. You got to bring people out of the woodwork. You got to change the law so dirtbags like E. Jean Carroll can allegedly claim that she was raped by somebody named Donald Trump. If you won fair and square, if you've got it in the bag, if you're the best thing, isn't it something that would intrigue you to be able to go out there and debate Donald Trump with a live audience, with whomever they pick? Bring it. I'll answer any question you have, and four of them on Sunday. Somebody's scared and demented. When we come back, let's talk about this. Another climate change fear tactic bites the dust. Say it ain't so. Don't go anywhere. I am aware that I'm not very fair on this program, that I'm biased. I'm human. I have likes and dislikes. I have favors and not. And I tell you every single day, I cannot think of a single thing that this administration since January 20th of 2021 has done well, has done even respectably, has done even remotely well. Everything they do sucks. Every message, every platform, every tax, everything. Now, I know I'm biased, but I think I'm telling you the truth. I don't think I'm wrong. I identify the bias. I've got it. I don't like these people. I don't like what they've done to our kids. I don't like how they've run our schools. I don't like how they lie to us every single day. I don't like our debt. And there's a lot of blame to go along for that one, including Donald Trump. He spent a lot of money. I'm not refuting that. But this whole bewildering nonsense about climate garbage and that what we do in the United States as we occupy, you know, what, 4% of the world's population, that what we do here has some overarching terrible effect on the entire planet. So awful that you have no consensus whatsoever in science. And we're told to shut up and just do whatever the administration tells us, because it's going to be restrictive. It's going to be punitive. It's going to suck. They want to take away your stove because apparently it causes asthma. Well, that study is based on nothing but hyperbole and garbage. So that doesn't hold water. They want to take your ceiling fan. They want to stop New York City from having wood-fired pizza ovens. Really? They want to make your life flavorless. They want to make your life hot in the summertime and cold in the wintertime. They want to control your thermostat. They want you in an electric vehicle so that you can be controlled. Because there's nothing worse than taking away somebody's car keys. Ask Brock when he had an accident and didn't drive for 9 months. It's all planned. So when part of that breaks, when there's a fissure in the dam and you start to see the trickle of water and you're like, oh boy, what's this? We have to talk about it. And this is a very interesting story. JustTheNews.com. This is John Solomon's outfit. Love it. Demonized as contributing to climate change, cattle may actually decrease emissions. Research shows. Is this surprising to you? What do we bring to you about the sun? What? Sunshine is an actual beneficial healer? Sunshine that's been demonized to make billions of dollars for dermatologists and other medical specialists and makers of sunscreen and SPF clothing and everything in the world that falls under the umbrella of keeping you out of the sun. Stay away! Meanwhile, people who are in the sun are healthier. They have fewer cancers. They're not susceptible to certain things, allegedly, right? So let's read this. All we know is that you shouldn't eat cows. Cows poop and they toot a lot and it's bad for the earth. And you're like, really? Because that sounds really stupid. It sounds almost like wear a mask, right? Put on this mask. It's going to make everything better. Really? Okay. So let's get the story. Few things have escaped environmentalist scorn, and even cows have not been exempt from blame for climate change. As a meat lover, this is always obviously important to me. Emissions from livestock production have become an increasing focus of efforts to fight climate change. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization estimates, and I'm sure you can bank on this money, because they don't lie to you at all over at the United Nations. They estimate that 11.1% of emissions worldwide come from livestock production. Now, how the hell would you come up with that? That sounds so arbitrary. That's like, it's magic. If you get the shot, it stops with you. You don't get sick. Nobody else gets sick. Right? Show us your data. Well, we don't have to do that. Curious. 11.1% of emissions come from cows, livestock production. And the organization released a report last year urging Americans to eat less meat. Well, if people aren't eating meat, the argument goes, then fewer cows are produced. If there are fewer cows, there's less emissions. That's the dizzying logic of people on the left. However, research by pro-agribusiness outfits, of course, this is pro-agriculture, so you're going to get a difference of opinion. Outfits called Alltech and Archbold suggest that the thinking on reducing emissions at the source is missing a bigger picture on cattle's relationship with the land. And possibly by removing grazing from pastures, emissions will actually go up. How's that possible? Well, it's possible sort of like, why are all those whales and dolphins washing up dead on the shore in New York and New Jersey? Might it be the drilling of the big freaking windmills that are so stupid that they want to put in the middle of the ocean because that makes sense? Is there anything these people do that doesn't suck? I don't think so. So let's talk about this. Besides trying to convince people to change their diets so we can get rid of more cows, other efforts seek to attack the emissions at the source. Oh, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I love when they get involved here. They awarded a $4.8 million grant to a London-based company to develop a gas mask of a sort of carbon capture technology on a cow. How about they just go home? You guys are billionaires. You make everything worse. Go away. Go away. Go make life miserable for other people. We're done. Isn't there another country that can adopt them? Other research is looking into food additives that go into the cow's feed as a way to reduce the amount of emissions coming out of the animal. In Ireland, dairy farmers were looking at possibly having to kill a lot of cattle to come into compliance with emissions reduction targets, which again is arbitrarily decided by a bunch of sniveling morons who want to control what you do, how you do it, so they can have power. Period. Dr. Vaughn Holder, who's a research project manager for beef nutrition at Alltech, and Dr. Betsy Boughton, director of agroecology at Archbold, studied the impacts that cattle production has on the ecosystem on a wetlands pasture at Buck Island Ranch, about 150 miles northwest of Miami. The researchers found that between 19 and 30% of methane emissions came from the cattle, but the rest was from the wetland soils. If the cows are removed from those wetland soils, their research shows, it actually increases the amount of methane the wetland ecosystems give off. Of course, methane, which is more potent in terms of greenhouse warming than carbon dioxide, lasts only about 12 years. So reducing methane can have a more immediate impact on warming than reducing carbon dioxide. Cattle emissions, one of these researchers said, are often thought of like fossil fuel emissions. When we burn fossil fuels, the emissions go into the air. So eliminating a coal-fired power plant, for example, removes an emission source, which produces a drop in emissions. There's far more complex process in agriculture than it is in fossil fuel systems. Ruminants, as they're called, you're going to actually get science here. Ruminants, as they're called, which includes cattle and sheep, have a large chamber in front of their stomach that acts as a fermentation factory. Inside, there are bacteria and yeast, fungi, and other microorganisms that help the animals digest grasses that we humans can't. Methane is a natural waste product of that process. Cattle take a lot of plants humans can't eat, right? And they do this in a series of videos on the Buck Island research, turn them into edible proteins humans can consume, increasing global food security. So wait a minute, you're talking about removing the cows, which actually help to keep down the methane emissions, and also create byproducts in agribusiness that benefit the food supply for you and me and for everybody else out there who needs food, which would be, oh, everybody. Surprising? Of course not. The animals also consume a lot of food byproducts that can't be used for human consumption. For example, orange pulp used in orange juice production can be fed to livestock. Those byproducts can be used in composting, but composting increases emissions 5 times more than feeding it to dairy cows. If byproducts are disposed of in landfills, the emissions go up 50 times over feeding it to dairy cows. They suck on everything they do. Wait a minute, you're telling us to not eat meat because the meat from the cows causes problems, that it's bad for the ozone and all these emissions, and we're ruining the planet. Don't worry that China's building all these coal-powered plants, one every week or whatever the hell it is. Don't worry that overpopulation and the mining of rare earth minerals all over the world, that's not raping the earth. It's you liking steak. You're a bad person, right? So stupid. It's possible to put additives in the cow's diet to inhibit this methane production, blah, blah, blah. Look, cattle are part of all of the cycle. Stop trying to fiddle with things. Stop trying to shoot up moonbeams or whatever the hell Bill Gates is trying to do to create some cloud cover over the atmosphere, over the earth. Ew! What we need to eradicate isn't cows. It's not carbon dioxide. It's not methane. It's evil people who suck. It's people who are desperate to cling to the next money laundering operation, who need to stay in control and stay in power and continue working as puppeteers behind the curtain, whose number one goal is to make you comply. Do as we say. It's for the greater good, right? It's what good people do. It's It's amazing how actual data refutes so much of the science these people who demand our trust try to spew on us. You know, we have Lib of the Week coming up. This is a good one. Special slice of crazy from San Francisco. Do not miss this. It'll wrap you up in a bow and send you on your way with a little smile. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. You know, I find this very interesting. So we have MSNBC, hook, line, and sinker, Trump derangement syndrome, people who are... Rachel Maddow, Chris Hayes, and all of the clowns over at MSNBC. These are not stupid people. These are not intellectually inferior people. They are not. It seems like there is this weird relationship between education and derangement. The two are like, I don't get it, right? I don't get it. But you do get it because the indoctrination takes a while. School's a great place to do it. CNN, on the other hand, though, kind of weird. We're getting some real news out of these people. What is going on at CNN? It's like they're breaking up with Joe Biden before MSNBC is forced to. So I want to read you this headline, fact check. This is on CNN.com. Biden again falsely claims inflation was 9% when he became president. This is a very interesting story. Not because Joe Biden lied, but because somebody in the mainstream media is calling it out. And that is peculiar. So here's the story. For the second time in less than a week, President Joe Biden falsely claimed Tuesday that the inflation rate was 9% when he began his presidency. That'd be fake news. Biden was criticized by many Republicans, including former president and current presidential rival Donald Trump, for telling CNN in an interview last Wednesday, no president has had the run that we've had in terms of creating jobs and bringing down inflation. It was 9% when I came into office. 9%. Biden repeated the claim about the inflation rate, albeit in slightly vaguer form, in a Tuesday interview with Yahoo Finance. This time, he said, I think inflation has gone slightly up. Okay, really? 41% of people polled by Gallup say when asked, what's your top financial concern? Without being given prompts, they say inflation. And that's 300% more than everybody, all the other topics. It's slightly up, he said. It was at 9% when I came in. Now it's down around 3%. Then they say this, facts first. Biden's claim that the inflation rate was 9% when he became president is not close to true. Wait, what? What happened to CNN? The year-over-year inflation rate in January 2021, the month of his inauguration, was about 1.4%. Remember that? Because I could get my tater tots and my fries from Orida for $3.90. It's now $6.50. The Biden era inflation rate did peak at about 9.1%, but that peak occurred in June 2022 after Biden had been president for more than 16 months. The March 2024 inflation rate, most recent available rate prior, or that Biden could talk about, 3.5%. They're calling him out. Why? In other words, Biden's claims make it sound like inflation is much lower today than it was when he was inaugurated, but it is actually higher. And then it goes in, similar to a previous false claim. We're setting you guys up for this. Because paying attention to the trends, paying attention to the when they start, kind of telling you the truth, means I don't think Joe Biden's running for office. I just don't. I don't see there's a way that he can finish this deal. I don't think there's an end. I don't think there's like an end for him in office, aside from him either dying or deciding to pull out. That's my take. We're going to see what happens. Now you guys know what time it is? I do.
Time now for the Wendy Bell Radio Program's...
Oh, love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal.
Liberal of the Week.
We wonder why mama bears out there are paying attention. Why there's this idea of things in education going haywire. Our Lib of the Week, my friends, is a San Francisco teacher who's likely sharing these little nuggets, pearls of wisdom, with her students. Listen.
I believe Israel has no right to exist. I believe the United States has no right to exist. I believe every settler colony who has committed genocide against native peoples, against indigenous people, has no right to exist. I believe in a free Palestine, from the river to the sea. I believe one day Palestine will be free. Is this news to anybody? White supremacy destroys for the sake of destruction. Abolition destroys for the sake of creation. We are not the same. I have an unwavering respect for children, an unwavering love and care and compassion for children, a commitment to children and to their freedom, to their learning, to their lives, to sustaining their lives.
Oh,
y'all are the demons. Y'all are the villains. We've been trying to end y'all, get free of y'all.
I mean, other than that, she sounds perfectly lovely. I mean, what the hell was that? I believe in educating children because I'm a lunatic. Oh my God. I believe from the river to the sea.
What class was that?
I don't know, but she's got her little scarf thing on. That is a highly educated individual, by the way. Like I said.
Not smart, highly educated.
There is this strange connection. It seems like the more educated you are, the dumber you are. Maybe we need to rethink this whole education thing. You think? I do. Well, it's been a pleasure and an honor, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being part of the program. We hope you come back same time, same place in 21 hours, and I cannot wait. Until then, peace.